I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Happy Wednesday. It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT97.3.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman behind the glass taking care of us. Just wrapped up another Texas Rangers win. They beat Tampa Bay 4-1. They also win back-to-back series with it. And up next, they will take on the Houston Astros. The Astros, they lost yesterday, looking to win the rubber match tonight against the Blue Jays. So one more for them before they can focus on the in-state series. Hey, we're live from the First United Bank studio. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline. That number is 806-771-0973. Or you can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, all of that, welcome there. Take us anywhere with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. We're also streaming live on Fox 34 News now and on YouTube. And if you feel like it, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Gus, how's your Wednesday going?
It's going all right. Enjoyed listening to that Rangers game. I was kind of in and out on it, but down the stretch of that game, we got bad news for Josh Jung. We had talked about just 6 weeks, but that's they got in there on that surgery, and there's a little more to that injury than they had thought, and so it's more like 8 to 10 weeks, which, you know, that puts it kind of a mid, you know, early to mid-June, still first half, which is amazing to think about. Still a long time from now, but, you know, hate it for him that they tacked on another 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, that was a bummer, but still circle back to the what you had just said. I mean, you'll have plenty of baseball for him to come back to, and I'll tell you what, the Rangers also will really be ready to have him back in the lineup. And, you know, now you get to kind of the questions we had last year, and this isn't just for him as a player, but this is with any player that gets hurt. I mean, you've talked about several times about the, hey, was it a hand wrist injury? Because you'd rather it be a leg or something like that. How does the swing look like coming back, and will there be a period of rust? Well, the nice thing with coming back early, even with this being, you know, 2 to 4 weeks more than the original 6 weeks that, you know, Bruce Bochy had kind of said, which I'm not here like Bruce Bochy was a liar, just what you find out that it's going to take a little bit longer. But if there is some sort of, you know, rust factor, having to work your way back into the game, you've also got plenty of time to do that and then still be a crucial part and a big bat for you in the lineup for the Rangers. But again, I'm sure for him, he's not going, oh, really? It's just 8 to 10 weeks.
Right. Josh is so, I mean, the tough part about it is just knowing what we know about him, just living here in town and knowing why he stays here in the winter. And I mean, a lot of reasons, but that it's, you know, so he can access the cage and, you know, all the things that Tech has to offer, which is not uncommon. A lot of college guys go back to their school to hit and lift and do all the things. You got a ballpark right there and a field they can use and all that. But about him, we know that's a dude that's pretty diligent about his stuff, his work, his off-season stuff, him and his brother. And, you know, we might be tempted to go, well, it's karma, because if he spent all winter, you know, boozing it up like Babe Ruth, you know, 1921 Babe Ruth, hookers and hot dogs or whatever what did they say in 1921? Wasn't hookers and blow, it was probably hookers and hot dogs.
Probably hookers and hot dogs, yeah.
Cigarettes, hookers, a dart, and hookers, a dart, and some hot dogs. Long dart.
Loose gals and mustard wieners.
Exactly.
Give me some of those.
Yeah. Well, we know that for Josh, his preparation's pretty diligent. He's even talked about, like, over the course of some of the other time that he's had, I think it may have been the shoulder thing that he had 2 years ago, that in that extra time in Phoenix living with one of the rehabbing older pitchers, he learned really about nutrition and preparing better food. And, you know, so the dude's diligent all the way around. It's just absolutely crappy luck.
Yeah. And I know we talked about this yesterday, but I'm still coming back to at least this isn't a recurring thing. It is just bad luck where, you know, he's had a couple injuries since he's left Tech and has left for the Rangers organization. But it's not like, oh, man, there's that knee again. This is the third time that this has popped back up.
Because if it was something like that, you go, it's that bum elbow again. Like, hey, this guy's, you know, his career's going to be in jeopardy if it just keeps injuring the same body part. But for him, it's not. I mean, I guess that's a good news. But he
silver linings.
Yeah,
guys.
Silver lining, no doubt. But he, you know, it's still a still hate to see it.
This from Shelley. Gus, I'm ashamed to admit, but when Carson Baugh was announced, I went, "Who's that?" I haven't been super plugged in all season, but how did I miss an entire person? I know it was his debut, but still.
Well, I think they had Tim had talked about them. Oh, obviously, he's way down the bullpen. The other one he's talked about is a freshman named Sockwell that, you know, they may get an opportunity in here somewhere. You know, and then an opportunity like that is a chance for those guys to pitch themselves into a role. But, yeah, you did hear a junior college pitcher, a third-year guy, first year here, but a third-year in college guy, make his Texas Tech debut yesterday. And, you know, if he comes in and goes zip, 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 then his you know, his role's probably going to go, hey, let's get some more of that. You know, because one thing they're doing is searching for arms, some midweek arms. And so, I mean, it's one game at Abilene next Tuesday, but that's the first game of a six-game stretch. Two weeks from yesterday and today, it's the number one team in the country on their turf. I think they're number one. They are number four right now in RPI, the Arkansas Razorbacks. So, you know, if a guy like that, you know, and I don't know is if they sat down and went, hey, now there's a possibility we burn your red shirt. You want to try this? If he went, yes, absolutely. Or
let's do it.
Yeah. I don't know. But, yeah, he is a name on the roster and did make a debut and it wasn't good.
What have you thought of Zach Erdman the past couple of outings? Speaking of midweek arms.
It was really solid yesterday. I thought last week it was kind of the opposite. He gave up those two runs in the first and then settled in and went scoreless second, third, and into the fourth. Yesterday was his career high in pitches, and it was four strong and then gave up a couple in the fifth, as I recall. But he especially when we talk about that game and what a just blast furnace or jet stream. That jet stream is probably the better way to say it, because blast furnace sounds like it was a heat thing, and it wasn't. But just a jet stream straight out, that dude hung four zeros is kind of remarkable. But I thought he was pretty good because he stayed off the barrel. It was just weak ground balls, little pop-ups and stuff. We need more of that. And again, I think he'll be run back out there in the midweek. And, you know, the fact that we're not seeing Petty and Fast at this point, probably maybe an indication of what we feared.
I am curious about your thoughts on those specific names that you just brought up, their roles for the future of the season. Now just, what, a single game over the halfway point, two games over the halfway point? You're barely over the halfway point.
Right.
That's the message there. It is Tech Talk. You've got us on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Keep hitting us up on the H Flooring Center chat line. Back with more next.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Doubled up on Signature Stag today. How about it? looking our best. It is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman behind the glass taking care of us. You can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, all of that, welcome there. We got this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line for the, what do you say, the Babe Ruth era?
Yeah.
Off season.
Yeah. Hot dogs and
hookers and smokes.
There you go.
There you go.
That's good. That's probably right.
To which Shelley said, "That's the name of the Linton Gus on the Road podcast."
Stop. Yeah. It's, go to bed at 9:30 and whatever.
And this
a level of boredom that you can't imagine.
It will blow your mind how non-mind blowing.
You'll be disappointed. Or maybe right on brand. I don't know.
This from Bullfighter. Since this is the home of the Texas Rangers, let's go Blue Jays. Kind of threw up just now. I know we've talked about this, but I am enjoying already the expectations of both of them having good seasons this year, because the old rooting for the other team, that the team I hate that I'm playing. I already heard this from Choice, rooting for the Yankees, which I think was tough for him in the first series for the Astros, and then Astros giving it back to the Rangers already. I've already enjoyed the fan-to-fan, you know, poking and prodding.
Yeah, sure. It ain't happened yet.
Mm-mm. Yeah, we're not even – toes not even in the water. You're, like, just near the pool.
Yeah.
Saw this today, Gus. Saw Baseball America drop their, I think it's their first projection for
some mock
the NCAA
draft.
Tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And Texas Tech, they're on the first four out. Are you surprised they're even there? Or
man, a little bit. One thing that's happened over the last 2 days, just winning games.
Mm-hmm.
RPI up into what, high 50s, and so
I think 58.
Yeah, I'm starting to sniff around that fringe now. You know, we talked about this. I mean, you could really circle this part of the schedule. Mm-hmm. I mean, need to rack up wins, period. But getting wins over this next, you know, really month or so. I mean, this the rest of the way, really in the second half, has a lot more heft to it than the first half. Mm-hmm. We would have thought that there would be some heft to this first half, because we would have circled that Stanford series and gone, ooh, look at that. Texas, ooh, look at that.
Yeah.
And you know, didn't take care of the Texas series, obviously. And they're not that great. And so the one win you got over them, and you know, and so this could be one of those years where of all the years that we need a little help, you know, a little RPI help, mm-hmm. a little, hey, we need the teams that we've beaten to go out and do some things. You know, it may not help us much, because Stanford's probably not going to be a lot of help. And that's Stanford we're talking about, by the way. That's Stanford.
Which is shocking. I mean,
it feels like – been to Omaha 3 years in a row. Yeah, they've just – four straight super regionals, six straight regionals. Like, that's Stanford we're talking about.
If you were talking about a program that feels like, yeah, go ahead and make a postseason reservation, they'd be one of the programs that,
Lord,
you
yes.
know, have that sort of expectation coming into the year. So it's odd to see them like this.
Yep, no doubt. And you know, anyway, all I'm saying there is the part we control, the part with some real heft to it, is ahead. Now, do we sit around and think this team's got it made? I mean, by the pattern of baseball they've played in the first half, you know, it's going to be a tremendous challenge, because think about what they haven't done. They're 2-for-37 in Big 12 road games. Okay. About to go to Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, about to go to Stillwater. Stillwater, the OSU can pitch. You know, it's some of that kind of stuff. So they're going to have to change a whole lot. I mean, and it's not a year to forecast great things, because a lot of bracket forecasts in hoops or in baseball and probably anywhere else you could see them, softball, soccer, you know, I'm sure those things exist. A lot of what they're doing, it's not so much a snapshot of what it is right now. There's a certain degree of that. But right now they've got TCU as a two seed. You know, well, if TCU finishes at the bottom of the Big 12, they're going to be a two seed.
Right.
You know, if they finish 12th or whatever they are right now, 11th. So what happens there when you start putting together a thing like that? You have to do some projection to say, hey, they're not staying in 11th place.
Correct.
They're not staying in 10th place. But if they do stay in 10th place, they're not going to be a two seed. So, you know, there's going to be some eyeballs on those two teams for sure.
And for them, it's OSU and OU. Yeah, like you said, this is not, as we know with all bracketology, if you will, which, you know, you just officially roll out of the basketball one, you get about a 3-week break when the tournament actually hits, and then, hey, here's baseball bracketology if you are interested. I thought it was interesting, though, that the Big 12, and again, talked about the projection side of it, but does have 8 in the field, which is that's a lot.
Very pleasant surprise, yes. But I'm surprised by that.
8-8 with also you being in that first four out, so just knocking on the door, which has a lot more respect than I think even what people in the Big 12 are viewing it right now. We've had discussions about this, the 3-5 feeling. Well, that feels like a gold mine. If that were to be the case, even if you were to go one less and get and look, there's in this field, there's one host and it's Oklahoma State, which is also interesting. But take out that part and just get close to that. I mean, right now, the way it feels, if they would have said 6 in this field, I would have been.
Oh,
I would have been very pleased,
dude. I'm tempted to have some wager fun with this. In terms of, I know, I don't know what that is. I've already drank $10 from a $10 jug of tequila right here on this here stage. So on this dais, I don't know what I'm willing to sign up for. But
would you eat a cold can of beefaroni?
Oh yeah, I'd do that.
Yeah. So what's the wager?
I don't know.
Are you wagering against Baseball America?
That it's more than 5 would be my weight, and it would be if we get more than 5 in, I'll, you know,
okay.
Whatever.
If we get more than, I'm making this official right now. If the Big 12, if the Big 12 gets more than 5 in, you'll just pop open a can of beefaroni. I'll buy it for you. I'll bring it. I'll go to the gas station.
Let's think through the penalty phase there. But
yeah. I've thought about it.
I know that's beefaroni. Fine, but that's not very exciting.
It's Tech
really.
Talk on Double T 97.3.
Podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Tech Talk, you've got us on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman. We are live from the First United Bank studio. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973. Or you can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all of that, welcome there. Take us anywhere with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. We're also streaming live on Fox 34 News Now and on YouTube. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman. We start hour number 2 off with a little breaking news from Joey McGuire himself on Baron Morton. I will read you the full quote here, just so we get the full context. Coach McGuire says, "First and foremost, if we were to play a game today, Baron Morton would be our starting quarterback. This decision was made in the best interest of Baron's health going into next season. Baron will resume full football activities later this summer. As I've said for the past several months, we have got to develop depth this spring, including at the quarterback position. With this decision made today, it allows us to divide our reps over the back half of spring ball to find out who our number 2 quarterback will be. Baron is unquestionably the leader of our offense and has proven that with his performance this spring. At the same time, this is a great opportunity for the rest of our quarterback room to go out and compete to see who will be that next guy up when needed." What is your concern level from this?
Not super concerned. I think it's an AC sprain, and you know, to get the full thing back takes time. Mm-hmm. And I mean, one of the things that we talked about prior to spring training, spring ball, you know, and I use the analogy of, or the person I focused on was Taj Brooks. I said he's not, you know, gonna go out there and see a ton from him, because what are you gonna do? You know, what you gonna find out if there's some timing aspects, some whatever. But there's no new role, there's no new install going on, and so Taj Brooks isn't gonna be a big part of this. Similarly, Baron Morton. So what they may be telling us is, yeah, there's. You know, the shoulder may not be all the way back, but the key thing here is there's no decision going on here. There's no, if there's a new offensive coordinator, if there's a new plan here, there's probably a lot more going into him needing to be available and need mm-hmm. to be out there throwing. He's thrown for a couple weeks here. They feel good about where he is. No need to have any sort of setback or whatever. Let's get him off the field and get on to these four quarterbacks. It's interesting, some of the things we're hearing about the D2 transfer are interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We just said his name and I've already forgot it.
I'm not just super worried from this yet.
I mean, call me in August.
Right. Well, I'm more of
Cameron Brown.
When you start summer ball, as long as everything is going off without a hitch, because this is what this is telling me from the release, and I agree with everything that you said. So, if there's any sort of setback when you get to summer ball, and it's like, oh, well, hey, he's being held out of some reps just because we're still trying to get back there. We're closer than we were in the spring when we held him out in the second half of spring ball, but he's not all the way back yet. Then I start to really get antsy because obviously we know the history of health issues at the quarterback spot for Texas Tech football. Mm-hmm. And he's just obviously a huge part of what you're expecting to do this year as you're looking and hoping for a big year this year, and how, you know, we've talked about how the schedule lines up for you and the home games, and then trying to find new footing and look around in the new Big 12 of, you know, who's going to take that first step forward, and this is a big opportunity. All of that wrapped up, you just don't feel quite as good about it if Baron Morton's not going.
No doubt.
Right?
No doubt.
So as of now, I'm reserving my concern until you get to summer ball, and then I'll be honest, if you have the slightest setback, then I will be pressing the panic
full
button.
Full blown.
Yes, I will be breaking the glass and elbow dropping the panic button.
Well, if he's not available for summer reps and those type things,
then, or even if it's something just lingering where he's going, and it's like in this exact release, and I'm not complaining here. I'm just, when he says if we were playing a game today, he would be our starting quarterback.
And there's the thing to focus on right there. Mm-hmm. Right there, that's the thing to carve into your brain.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, ouch.
He's not, you know, this is probably way less about him and way more about what's going on around him, because there's a legit competition for that backup quarterback. You know, the Cameron Brown kid is an interesting story, because he's our guy that's you know, the Division II transfer.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And probably brought in to play that that role of what Donovan was a couple years ago,
which is something that they have said in some of their
heavy availability, mm-hmm. run red zone, heavy short yardage, a big physical kid. And, you know, you see him do some of the reps and some of the things on the field, and it's an interesting athlete. But I think his role is pretty specialized, even if he doesn't take any true rep. I mean, if he doesn't play next fall as the true number two, he may mm-hmm. be on the field more than anybody not named Baron Morton.
Well, we've heard from Coach McGuire himself, you know, saying like, hey, we've had to pull Cameron Brown out of special teams meetings. Special teams meetings. Like, because he's so athletically gifted and can do a lot of different things.
The competition's Jake Strong and Will Hammond.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's really interesting, and that's who this is all about. Just as we talk about that running back situation, we don't need to know anything else about Taj Brooks. Let's bubble wrap him and make sure he didn't get hurt. Find out about some of these young dudes. And that's what this is all about. This O-line conversation is about, you know, the three guys fighting for two spots in the middle.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman behind the glass taking care of us. Hit us up on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. What's this Tech football tweet about Baron Morton? Is he still recovering from the AC issue or purely resting the rest of spring? And it's still recovering from the AC joint.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Yeah,
I've seen a couple of things, and I'm not saying you shouldn't be, you know, you're crazy if you have concerns for it, right? If you go individual opinion, each person that's seen this, if you have some concern from it, because, you know, that last game, it has been a while since you've played it. But at the same time, we also knew he wasn't 100% in the spring. I mean, what was that, a month ago whenever they had addressed this? For me... I'm waiting to see. I'm not shocked that they kept him out of the spring game. It's like Warren Washington with his tournament field, right? Like, if you're going to keep him in, try to make him play in the Big 12 tournament or pull him out, and, you know, it's the same opinion for me. Hey, if the real season, the tournament was just around the corner, so if you were going to put him in, just to put him in, and there's a chance you weren't going to have him or hurt it worse, just save him, right? That's how I feel about spring ball in this situation, right?
Lord,
like,
yes.
If this is how they're viewing it, he's still not 100%. He really doesn't need to play in the spring game. Like you said, we know who our guy is this year. It's not a quarterback battle this season.
Nope.
If there's any hint that this is going to be an issue, hold him out. Save him. Now, that's me.
I completely agree.
I'm not going to.
There's plenty of time, two and a half months from now to work on his timing with the receivers and all of that and get ready for fall camp. I mean, this is a non-story. The key part of that statement is part about if we play tomorrow, he's our starting quarterback.
Now, I would like to, those backups. Yes, I guess where I'm coming from is, if you do have concern over that, I'm not going to just knock you and just be like, how could you be worried about this at all? Especially, again, when you put in the history and then just what you went through last season. And when you just isolate the year that you had last year, take out the decade of just trying to get a quarterback to stay healthy, having a quote-unquote setback or something you weren't expecting when it's holding over from something that happened last season, totally get the concern. And that's where, again, I go, if you get to summer ball, like now that they're saying in the statement, and say they Coach McGuire, and, well, yeah, he's still not really 100%, you know, or, you know, we're keeping an eye on it, that's when I start to, you know, because you're right down the pipe of starting the year at that point. So if this will help him get to 100% faster, and when you put in there's no quarterback battle and we don't really need to see him specifically in the spring, although we all would like to, I'm not in the concern camp just yet.
No, I'm not either. It's not an issue with me. Not a concern. The important part, I think, of what's happening in this camp, and I'll confess to having missed the media availabilities of this week.
Mm-hmm.
This is way more about interior linemen. You know, it is interesting that it sounds like the two tackle positions are kind of kind of wrapped up. Mm-hmm. One of them with a portal acquisition, and one of them with Buchanan, which is, you know, good.
Yeah,
that's a good problem. And one of the guard positions appears to be settled. It sounds like there's three guys for center and guard, including Caleb Rogers, who's moving inside. I mean, that's an interesting conversation. What it does appear, Sheridan Wilson, and we had talked to a little bit about him, because I remember 2 years ago playing Ole Miss in the bowl game, and he was listed as the number two center. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there was some portal acquisitions, and I don't know if he played a little bit or whatever, but having a really good camp, sounds like he's ready to go. But three guys rotating in and out of that guard spot and that center spot, so there's going to be some center depth. But it sounds like there's some interesting competition. But those things, not as exciting as talking about the quarterback and all, you know, what receiver did this or whatever. The cornerback competition, how's the safety thing working? Mm-hmm. How does Dingle look at star?
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Those things are way more probably way more compelling and important coming out of spring ball. And then backup running back type situation. Where's the depth behind Taj? Not that I'm not questioning is there depth. I'm saying like who is it? Is it mm-hmm. the second year kid from Wichita Falls? Is it the freshman that sounds like he's doing good things, et cetera, et cetera? Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that's what this is all about.
I mean, if you're going concern word or just importance, you got to get the offensive line improved. Mm-hmm. And so I'm with you on
big,
that.
Big portal acquisitions mm-hmm. in that role too. A bunch of experience, a bunch of older guys in that list.
Well, that's why they've gone after who they've gone after mm-hmm. in the portal. I mean, they're not blind to what the weaknesses were of last year's team, or at least, you know, hope not. Doesn't seem like they are.
And it sounds like, you know, because at least a couple of these portal acquisitions are going to be one and done guys. Mm-hmm. And so along the way, this time next year, this conversation will probably include a bunch of those guys who are Coach McGuire's early recruits
yeah.
when he went heavy to both sides of the line, mm-hmm. offense and defense. But these guys are finally, this time next year, are going to be headed into their third year and are going to be, you know, a little bit more ready to go.
Which will be interesting, because I think at that point, and really you can look at this year because you've had a couple guys, you know, in the system from, I mean, pick past just the offensive line. You can get into the how does Joey McGuire develop guys mm-hmm. discussion, because you're getting your first look at it, true look at it, this year with guys that came on in his first year.
And a new O-line coach.
Yeah.
Which is the
also
other
new Coach McGuire.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very good point.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Wednesday edition of Tech Talk. You've got us on Double T 97.3, DoubleT973.com, a Viking Gusta Rhymes, John Bon Jovi edition. Gus, news over the past 24 hours, you've seen more portal entries for Texas Tech basketball. One of those being Lamar Washington, one of those Damarion Williams, and then I would say the most surprising out of everyone you've seen so far, and feel free to disagree, but Devin Cambridge entered his name. And I don't know if this is officially entered yet or if it still plans to enter, but how many times have you seen plans to enter and then not officially enter if that isn't the case, you know? But, Devin Cambridge, this one caught me off guard a little bit.
Yep, me too, because he was in that conversation about wanting to be back here. And really at the time that was being discussed back in the spring, earlier this spring or this winter, mm-hmm. sort of post injury, was like, it really had to do with, is he going to want to take that COVID year and get one more year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he was technically a senior, but he had another, you know, could like do the medical. Mm-hmm. And so when I guess asked in that context, he said yes, but now there's a different conversation taking place.
And now when you get to the ones that you didn't really expect it from, because, I mean, Pop Isaacs maybe you could put in this category. Who knows? But, like, with Devin Cambridge, you know, you start to you do the questions of why, right? And this goes back to our conversation of, well, there's so many reasons that it could be, and it typically isn't just one, like, one reason only, but I would say for the most part you at least have something that leads the discussion, or again on the pie chart has the biggest piece of it. But is this because he thinks he can get more NIL? Is this he had a sit-down talk with Coach McCaslin, he didn't, you know, like the role that was going to be there next year? But I have a hard time imagining, because there are quote-unquote firings that happen around college basketball around this time, and essentially saying, like, hey, yeah, you really need to go look somewhere else because we really don't have a spot for you next year, or we're bringing in someone that's going to take your, you know, whatever that case may be. I have a hard time thinking that Devin Cambridge was quote-unquote fired in this scenario. Right. Again, not in the circle. Don't know the case. Don't know if this was an NIL thing, if this was a play thing, if this was a – and guess what? We had guys last year like Robert Jennings that entered their name, and they can come back.
Oh, sure.
Is this just like testing some the waters, if you will?
Going to test free agency.
I don't know what the scenario is here, but I don't I think the one that I would have the least – amount of belief in would be that he was fired from this coaching staff, especially with you needing size and you bringing him in to be a guy that can do a little bit of everything, can be an athletic long player for you, can rebound, can defend, isn't someone that's just going to be, well, you see, he's averaging 20 points the past month of basketball. He's not that guy, but a guy that you can really, you know, put in a lot of different situations and have a lot of roles be played by him. So I have a hard time thinking that this was a he was fired, quote unquote, situation. Yeah. But who knows?
Yeah, it could just be testing the free agency waters. We'll see. It truly is the situation where you want to be rooting for the uniform.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's very, you know, it's got a very transactional feel to it these days.
Oh, sure. It's almost a guns for hire situation.
The difference is, and it has created more balance. There's no doubt about that. But mm-hmm. the difference is these guys are, I mean, the difference between like a pro sport as we watch a baseball game on mute here and the thing, mm-hmm. these guys have a contract, you know, and these guys have a term. Like, we can all look at this thing and go, hey, in 2029 or whatever it is, Josh Young's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
This is the last year of Bregman's deal. Yankees fans, this is your 1 year with Soto as it stands today. Mm-hmm. Well, it, you know, the we probably all need to condition ourselves as fans to get out of the whole mindset of, oh, we got this guy back next year, and mm-hmm. you know, and there's some truth
and
to this.
I know you're right, but I just hate that.
Too.
I hate it so much.
This is creeping into certainly creeping into baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Molina, Hudson White.
Oh yeah,
it's creeping in, and so, you know, it's got to be exhausting to, well, I would say this: it's got to be exhausting to keep you know re-recruit your own team every year, but also the, it's created positions like Buffington on the men's basketball staff is there. I mean, I assume he's there to be the capologist. I would also assume that somebody has said, now you got, you know, $1 million or $1.5 million or $2 million or whatever. Somebody somewhere has said, here's the money you've got mm-hmm. for your roster next year.
Mm-hmm.
Unless a donor has just said, I'll pay for anything, you know.
Here's your blank check
Sure. Donor, and here's the key. And I'm sort of saying that in jest, but you telling me that there's not someone, and I'm talking about the real blue blood basketball programs, just because this is sort of a basketball related conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You telling me there's not somebody associated with Kentucky basketball, Kansas basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Go fill in
Deep
blank.
Pockets University, yes. that will do anything,
sure.
from without being able to play on the court to make sure the team that donor, yeah. or that fan,
yes.
wants to see succeed.
Yes. If you're one of the umpteen hundred billionaires in this country and you love your basketball,
mm-hmm.
it's chump change to go, yeah, here's a couple extra million. Mm-hmm. And so we're always going to be competing against that. We've talked about a facilities arms race forever, and now it's an NIL arms race. And I don't know what fixes that or corrals it without full on
professionalization.
Well, kind of a labor relations type, yeah, sure. collective bargaining type thing. And that's a big step.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.